You're listening to All Marine Radio on the All Warrior Radio Network.
It'll be kind of like being a pilot. You'll come out of college and you want a cyber guarantee. You know, we'll give you a cyber guarantee.
Great.
And then if you make it through the school, then you'll get qualified and that's what you'll go do. If you don't, then we'll
room in the grunt.
Make you an infantry officer.
Worked okay for you and
worked
me.
Out for so. You. Of course, everyone knows that the most intelligent, handsome people on the earth are infantry officers.
Yeah, memo to everyone. Deal with it. Joining me today on a Friday, none other than himself, the head chef. Chef, what is up? How are you this week?
Good mushrooms everywhere. It's great for me.
Really? Why? Any particular reason?
Yeah, I've got my little group needs picture, and we were just reading the first page. It's not bad for.
Yeah, I don't, something's going on. You keep cutting out. Is there anything? Are you doing anything different today?
No, I'm not.
Okay. All right. We'll deal with it then. So you're reading the sport page. What are you? Anything particular you're reading with your niece about in sports?
I was reading about the Yankees and Red Sox last night.
Yeah, the Red Sox beat them 5-4.
So, I thought for sure that they would come back and nip them.
Well, they came back and they tied it, and then one of the relief pitchers gave up one of those cheap Yankee Stadium home runs that wouldn't go out of any other park. But you know what? They won, so the Red Sox salvaged the last game of the series. But it's fun because they're both good young teams, kind of like the Dodgers used to be, until the Dodgers started sucking this year. So not sure what happened. What happened to the Dodgers, man? They're just like they're dead now. What happened?
Get rid of the manager. You can talk to about it.
Yeah. Put a computer down there. Print out the lineup.
Yeah, you don't need a manager. Just put in one of those big printouts and have some bean counter.
What are the best?
59 pitchers. You got to change pitchers. He's pitching a no-hitter. That's what the computer says.
One of the best hitters.
You know how I feel about that.
One of the best hitters for the Phillies wasn't playing. And they said, why aren't you playing? And he said, I don't know. I guess the computer said I shouldn't play. The computer said I shouldn't play, which is pretty funny. Pretty funny.
Now, that's great.
Yeah. Yeah. Do you think you can be taken seriously as a country if you don't have a military?
No.
Yeah. Neither do I. I don't know. Like, the Germans, come on, man. You're Germany. Like, we're over World War II. Get it together, right? Be part of pushing back on Vladimir Putin and keeping him in a box. But, look, man, the cricket, but you, cause Tim, you and I both know, you were a hippie. You can only be a hippie if somebody protects your right to be a hippie. You know, if there's nobody's protecting your right, all you're gonna be is some dude in a tie-dyed T-shirt that got his ass kicked. Okay, that ain't cool.
And believe me, if it wasn't for the military, I might be wearing that tie-dyed T-shirt in the coal mines.
yeah, see, that's my whole thing about pacifism. I think it's very cool. I think it's very cool and all that. However, unless somebody's guaranteed you're right, then you're lining yourself up to be a victim. But I thought your niece was the older niece, not the little niece. How old's your niece? What is that, your great niece?
How old are you, 30?
Well, the picture I'm looking 30. At is of you and a baby, for God's sakes.
33.
That's that baby.
The baby's 6 months. First job.
I was going to say, that baby's not 33 years old, okay? I know what 33 looks like. That baby doesn't look like 33.
But this is my great-niece that I'm dining with.
All right. Well, I got confused because I saw a picture of something else. Okay, you know, one of the things I called Kim earlier this week, and I've been anti let the meat sit after you take it off the grill for a long time. And so last Sunday I was grilling, and I've changed the way I've grilled. I buy the charcoal that you're supposed to buy for the big green egg. Now, I know it's probably a money play, but I will say this. It burns much cleaner, and you can reuse it, right?
Yep.
So I do that.
That's right. If you use it all,
got my digital meat thermometer, and I'm buying better steak, okay? Now, I bought steak that's like $13 a pound. All the way up to $22 a pound. I didn't quite want to go to $29 a pound. Okay.
They said it was aged.
Is that what they would have said on that meat? Aged or dried or something like that?
And the meat has to have marbles in it, little white flecks. That's fat, and that melts when it's grilled and tenderizes the meat. Okay?
Yeah, I'm with you. So I did all of that, and in addition to that, I let the steak sit afterwards, and it was the best steak I've ever made. Now, I don't know which of those factors contributed to the success of the steak. It may or may not have been me allowing it to sit. I guess I would have to do another test and not let it sit and see what happens. But I don't know that I'll do that again because it was such a success. What difference does it make if I let it sit? Can you explain that to me?
What it does, and the discussion we've had over the last 25 years, is when you let meat rest or fowl rest, the juices solidify in the meat or the chicken or whatever. And so you don't let that meat settle, the juices settle. When you cut into a steak, it all runs out on the plate. And the rest of your meal tastes dry. So you have to let the meat rest. And by what you did, by wrapping it in foil and letting it rest, it keeps the heat in, which is what you want to do. You don't want to cook it, but you want the heat in. And so all those juices go throughout the steak. And you'll have a little running in the bottom of the foil, which you put right over the top of the steak when you put it on the plate. What you did was a combination of not only wrapping the meat and letting it rest, but buying quality product. And you happen to be fortunate enough to have a big green egg, which is the ultimate grill, and you have the digital thermometer. So I would compliment you on all the components that you put into that.
Yeah.
But I think where you came out winner filet dinner was letting it rest and wrap it in foil. That's all. So that puts you in the front row, Mac.
Thank you. Thank you. Thank you very much. let me tell you, the digital thermometer, if you don't have one, you're stupid, okay? Kim got me a fork that had a digital readout on it, so that was my first foray into it. If you haven't heard us discuss this, digital thermometer cost me $40. I got it for Father's Day 2 years ago. It cost each of my kids $13 and they were so excited about that Father's Day gift. Patrick, I've never seen him move that fast. I'm out of the door. I'll get it right now. $13. I'm all in before you change your mind. So he ran down to Home Depot and got it. But it's a Bluetooth device, right? So you download the app. It's a Weber app. You download the app. You sync the Bluetooth thermometer, meat thermometer to your phone, and you stick it in there, and then you know, it says, what are we grilling tonight? Beef. What kind of beef? Ribeye steaks. Okay. How do you like them? Medium rare. And the beauty of it is if you say you're going to cook steaks and somebody you want medium rare, medium, and then well, all you do is you hit medium, let's say you hit rare. Because as Kim taught me, take it off when it's rare, put it in the foil for 5 minutes, and you're going to get something between rare and medium rare because it will continue to cook. See, I know these kind of things. So then you just your Bluetooth thing's going on and your phone's telling you, hey, this is done. And then you hit the edit button and then you say medium. So then you continue to track it and then it goes off again. Hey, this one's medium now. Boom, you take that off. And then the thermometer should be in the one you want well done. So you're taking the steaks adjacent to it off at different temperatures, and then when it hits well done, boom, everybody's happy. Everybody happy.
And that's it. Now what I want to tell everybody out there is when you take your meat off, one rank, like you want medium rare, you take it off rare. What you need to know is that when you cook something, it cooks from the outside in. Now, when you take that off and wrap it, the heat is drawn into the cold part and the center of the steak, and that's how you get the medium rare. It'll be red and juicy and warm because the heat is pulled in from the outside into the center. Okay, and that's just something that you should know why you take it off one stage earlier.
And so, So when you think about it, it's pretty. You would think, well, that makes sense. Okay, that makes sense, yeah. And it does. But you got to give it some thought. I want to talk about. So we're talking about grilling and things. So you've had your. For much of the country, grills get put away for a lot of the winter. So when you pull your grill out, question one, the grill itself, the metal grill, it's been sitting there oxidizing, and I know you should have cleaned it, but not everybody does. What do you do with your grill? Do you go, spray a bunch of off on it and get some steel wool and scrub that thing clean? What do you do?
Well, what you do is you put a load, if you have a gas grill, you take the cover off your gas grill or your Weber, which I leave mine outdoors year round.
Right.
I just take this big heavy duty Weber grill cover off, and then I kind of wash the outside and get it shiny.
No, I just want to talk about the grill.
I'm getting to that, Matt. And then you turn the burners up high.
No, I know. I don't want to talk about that because a lot of people don't have burners, right? They still cook with charcoal. So I know you have one, but the rest of – not all of us aren't, like, all tunned up like you are. We're not all rich guys.
You're jumping the gun, Big Daddy. Well, here's the skinny on that. You put a load of charcoal in your pit. You fire it up, and you get the grill smoking hot, and you let it burn down till you can take the lid off. And then you take whatever, I have a big steel brush. And that's how I scrape that down. And anything that's been on there will burn off. And then you scrape it down till you get to the grates and they're shiny. And then you can take steel wool or SOS pad, and which is what I did growing up, and you scrub the grill both sides, you hose it off, and then you should be ready to go. But
okay.
Can I talk about maintaining the grill?
Sure, buddy. No problem.
Okay. What you should do to have a perfect grill, you have to turn, when you're done cooking, you turn your grill back up to high, all the burners. You take your wire brush and you scrape it off. And then you turn your burners off after about 15 minutes. You scrape all the crud off the grates. And then you oil. Some people say you just take oil in a paper towel. That's bullshit. The oil sets the towel right on fire because it's so hot. What you do is you take a used towel, or t-shirt that's throwaway material, mm-hmm. and then you put oil on that, and then you rub it down, and you have your grill glove on anyway,
right.
So you don't burn yourself. But then you can use that several times before you have to throw it away. And you just add a little oil, and it'll clean the grill for the next use. And then when it comes time to use it again, you crank the burners. Most everybody, before they get to the temp, they got to get all the grills hot. And then you take the rag with the oil, and you wipe the grill again, because if the grates are oiled, then your product won't stick to the grates. And that's the curse of grilling, is it's not properly cleaned and it's not oiled.
Right.
Okay.
So we clean it the first time and we clean up our grill, and then before we cook every time, you talk about turning the burners up afterwards, but you know, for a lot of people, they don't do that, and there's residual, there could be, you know, leftovers from beef or chicken or fat. There also could be sauce left on the grill. So if some of that is left on, and you have you cook with charcoal as well as propane, you say when you fire yours up, you turn it up high. But you also talk about oiling. What I do is I throw the grill back on there. I'm a charcoal griller, so I can't turn it all the way up at the end, and I'm not going to waste the extra charcoal to do that. So what I do is when I fire the grill up, I take my kind of scrubber thing, the metal scrubber thing I have, and I scrape the grill, and then I go get a paper towel, and I put olive oil on it, and I wipe the grill. Normally it's hot, so I wipe down the grill, which lubricates the surface of the grill. Is that okay?
Yes.
Am I doing that wrong?
No. Well, you're not doing it wrong. There's not a wrong way.
Yes.
It's just an easier and a more difficult way. And by even with your green egg, when you're done, if you just take that wire brush and scrape your grill right away and then wipe it with oil, and then you're fine. You don't need to turn it up all the way if you don't want to. The grill's going to be plenty hot enough, and with the wire brush, you get all the caca off of there. You don't want it to cool down. The point I'm saying is don't let it cool down and everything harden on it. When it's hot and just kind of loosey-juicy there, then you can wire brush it off and wipe it with olive oil, and you're pretty much ready to go for the next time. You still do the process you were talking about
anyway.
when you start up your grill.
Okay.
The curse is to have a dirty grill and pick up flavors on what you're cooking from the last thing you cooked, which might have been fish, might have been chicken, pork, and you happen to be cooking beef. So that's what you want to eliminate.
The okay. Is there any type of how about spray? A lot of people like Pam and things like that. Do you like or dislike those kind of applications to metal surfaces and grills?
No, I don't dislike them. But what I think, it's a waste.
Why?
When you have a cloth that has olive oil on it, you don't waste any olive oil. The olive oil is applied right to the grill itself. Whereas if you spray Pam on there, you're spraying it through the grates and into the charcoal or whatever, if it's gas. And I think it's a waste. Now, you know, if you're using the cast iron skillet on your grill, that's fine to use Pam. Absolutely fine. But for the grates themselves, I prefer the oil in the rag.
Interesting. Interesting. The okay, so that's how. See, now that I've cooled the steaks off and I have a few minutes, maybe I could go back and spend 30 to 45 seconds to scrape my grill, because normally I'm eating and my grill doesn't even exist in my head anymore. Like, I don't even like grill. What are you talking about? Yeah.
That's a great call, Mac. That's a great call. A good suggestion. While your meat is resting, then, you know, it doesn't take but a minute to wire brush and oil your grates, and then you're done. You shut the lid and walk away and enjoy your meal. But just that 60 seconds is going to save you 15 minutes of scraping and scrubbing the next time around.
Because that stuff isn't hard. Email question.
Yeah, that's a good call, Matt, by the way.
Yeah, I didn't. Well, not that I've ever done it. I'm just saying it's a good idea. Email, mm-hmm. Mac.
It's the right idea for you, Mac.
I'm a foodie, and I'd be curious to know: is there a rub or any kind of seasoning that the chef puts on his steaks when he grills them? The amount of that stuff has exploded in the last 5 years. I'm not sure if it's the proliferation of cooking shows on TV these days, the internet, and all the different information about anything you ever want to cook, but it's pretty cool. Does he use a rub? Does he use a certain type of seasoning? How does he season his steaks, Kim?
For my steaks, I'm sorry, folks out there, but I'm a traditionalist. I just like salt and pepper, and mainly pepper. I love pepper and more pepper. And so I'll rub the steak with a little olive oil to hold your season. And you can do this if you're putting a rub on. And I'll lightly salt, but I put a ton of pepper on there. And all over the steak, and then it's been resting to room temperature, and that's just before it goes on the grill, or you can do it ahead. Now, if you're using a seasoned blend, a marinade or anything like that, you can put that on a couple of hours before. I would recommend doing so. And let that soak into the meat or chicken or whatever you fish, poultry. But yes, there's such a monster variety. And the difficulty is, what do you like the most? And do you like to switch it up with, beef? You put one, you know, I've taken a chuck steak, not your most tender cut of meat, but it's deep. And this was back in the day when I started using my Weber. And I would put wine and lemon juice and season up this steak and put it in a with turnip. And now they have a Ziploc bag. It's so damn big. You know, you can put a monster ribeye in there in the 1 gallon Ziplocs and then pour your marinade in, close it, just put it in a pan so it won't leak. So it, if it does leak, it doesn't matter. And then you keep flipping and that tenderizes your meat. And you can do it for a day, day and a half, if you have a tougher cut of meat. And then you can grill that. But for, just a really nice, cut of meat like you use now, Mac, and I try to use, and you can put a seasoning blend and you rub it in the skin. You know, you rub it on the beef and you rub it in so it penetrates and you get, a real solid, coating on whatever you're cooking. I hope that answers his question.
Yeah, well, it was a personal preference question, and your preference is salt and pepper, which, with lots of pepper, with emphasis on the pepper.
But, you know, with chicken.
I don't want to talk about chicken. I want to talk about steak. Talk to me about, are there things that you like, though? I mean, for instance, I've told the story before, but I'll briefly tell it again. I was introduced to the ribeye steak by Kim. He and I used to hang out, I think it was every Wednesday night. And so I just go down and we'd kind of hang out for an hour or two in his office and, kind of like little men's, not really night out, but we had dinner together. And so the first night I went down there, he was eating dinner. He was just finishing dinner. I said, "What's that?" He said, "The ribeye." I said, "You want a bite?" I said, "Yeah." So he gives me a bite, and it was ribeye with kind of a béarnaise sauce and a lightly floured onion to boot. It was delicious.
Yeah.
So are there some things that you like? For instance, the béarnaise sauce is made by a company called Knorr that you can find in your supermarket or somewhere in your town. Absolutely delicious. Are there things that you like to do to steaks? You know, that you can put your own kind of butter spread on steaks. Your béarnaise sauce is delicious. What are your favorites?
Okay, I make a compound butter with garlic, parsley, tarragon, and or oregano, whatever you. But I soften a pound of butter, and then you put your salt, pepper, garlic, crushed garlic, or finely diced garlic or grated garlic in the bowl with the butter, whatever other herbs you want to use, and then you mix that up, and then you have a piece of saran wrap about 18 inches long and as wide as you can. And I used back in the day a commercial saran wrap, but you can get a large box in the store. And then you put this butter, after it's thoroughly mixed, in the middle, and you make kind of like a cylinder. And then you take the saran wrap and you roll it over and you make a log, and then you take the ends and you twist them, and then you roll it so you have like a log, a round log, and the ends are tight and it squeezes the butter together, and then you can refrigerate that, and it also freezes, and I have one in the freezer right now. And what I'll do is I'll put it in the fridge and let it soften a little bit so I can cut it. And then when the steak comes off the grill, I take one the butter running over my steak, but I will take a half an inch, slab of this circle, which is about 2 inches wide and a half inch thick. And then I would, when it comes off, you put it on the plate, then you rub this butter on the top and then serve it, and there's still butter sitting in the steak, but it's melting and running all over the steak.
Yeah.
That's one way. That and that those keep for months in the freezer.
Okay, and it's all obviously taste driven, but what are the things that you put in that little spread that you do? What are they?
Well, you can do onion powder.
No, hold on. I don't want to go over what you can do. What do you do? What's in yours again?
Oh, mine, I have garlic, grated garlic.
Right.
I have salt, because I use a butter that's sweet butter, not salted butter. Okay. And you can do either one.
And tell
lots of pepper.
Tell everybody.
Garlic.
Hold on. Hold on. Tell everybody why you don't use salted butter.
I like the sweet, and I don't know what. I don't want my food to have a salted flavor. I want to add salt if I want it. That's why I use a sweet creamery, sweet cream butter.
Right.
And non-salt.
There you go. He adds his own, okay? He's his own salt master. Okay, keep going. So what are the other ingredients?
I put in pepper, garlic, parsley, and I have tarragon that I grew last year, and it's all chopped up and it's mixed in. Now, if you're not a tarragon man, but you're a basil man or oregano, whatever you want, but you put maybe in a pound, you put maybe a tablespoon of everything. Now, that's a lot of garlic, but I love garlic, so that's a preference call.
Got it.
But you, and then a little paprika for color. And when that melts, you have this color that's melting on the steak and these flavors that have been blended with the butter. And that's why I just like to use pepper. And if I use a sauce of some type, then I just have a plain steak, but I add the sauce. Like I make a kick-ass peppercorn sauce. That takes a little of time, but that I'll send the recipe for that. Or you can look it up online. And what I used to do with the peppercorn sauce was I would be cooking at Sanders in a cast iron skillet. I used to cook all my steaks in cast iron. And then I would degrease a pan with a little bit of beef stock, a little cognac, then I'd add these green peppercorns that come in a can, and just the peppercorns, not much of the brine that the peppercorns come in. And then I'd add a little cream, like a couple tablespoons of cream. And then I whisk that. And then because of the cast iron and all this stuff, and this is why while the steak is resting, and then you make the peppercorn sauce, and that peppercorn sauce gets dark, and there you have probably one of the top two toppings for steaks, two or three toppings for steaks. It's a green peppercorn sauce, and you can look it up on your phone and pick out whatever one you want. And I like it when the peppercorn and the cognac and the sweet marsala they blend, and the cream gets a little darker, so it's more like a brown sauce, a light brown sauce, and it's, you've had it before, and it's pretty good. But your favorite is the Bernays sauce, and for ribeye, that's my favorite sauce, is the Bernays or a Hollandaise, too. And Nor makes those. Nor makes dark sauces. So, you know, you can experiment with those kind of sauces. Or if you're just a strict rub guy, you make your own rub up and rub it on the meat before you cook it.
All right. Here's another email. Hey, Mac, would you ask the chef to go over his actual grilling? Does he use a digital thermometer? I've heard you do, but does the guy who's experienced is him?
I don't. If it's a big piece of meat, I'll fork it with the fork that I gave you. But basically, I've been cooking steaks for so long that I use my thumb. I don't laugh, folks, but I use my thumb to press into the meat, the fat part of the meat, and the easier my thumb goes in, the rarer the meat is. And I've gotten so I can be cooking a steak, and Beth likes hers medium, and I like mine rare to medium rare, so I can cook it perfect for her and perfect for me. But that's just me. I recommend a digital thermometer for everyone. I truly do. And hopefully for Father's Day I'll get one.
You don't need one, man. You have a calibrated thumb.
I have a calibrated thumb.
He does.
that's rich.
It is. It's true.
I cooked for 50 years that way. Because in the old days, before any kind of thermometers, that's how they judged it. When you're cooking steaks and a bunch of steaks, your thumb. But that's just me, folks. I'm antique. I'm in the way now. But if you really want to be accurate, you have to get the digital thermometer. And that's hands down the best way to guarantee the results you want.
All right, another email question for you. Mac, I have a constant fight with different family members about what I would call marbling, what they would call fat. Does the chef have any advice? They like their beef lean, but good-tasting steaks do have marbling. Is there a better cut that I could strike a balance, or what's the best-tasting straight beef steak? That's an interesting question, because so much of the flavor comes from the marbling. What's a great-tasting lean steak?
Well, the filet mignon is probably the leanest. I am not a fan of sirloin because there's too much gristle, and that's what, you know, you end up chewing on, and then you look at the side of somebody's plate and there's a pile of little gristle there. I like the ribeye, prime rib. And there's fat in ribeyes and prime rib, but what that does is that tenderizes the meat as it's cooking. You don't have to eat it. You can cut around it. But the marbling, then they're little strips of white, which is fat. And the more you spend on a cut of meat, you want to get prime, if you can, prime meat. And the grades are prime, choice, select, and you don't go by choice when you're buying meat. You either buy choice or prime. And if you can buy prime cuts of anything, that is the direction you want to go. But most every supermarket meat counter will sell choice. And that's perfectly good, but you don't want to overcook meat. For me, I think the longer you cook meat, the tougher it becomes.
Yeah. So a quick way to have very, very mediocre steak is to buy cheap beef, not use a thermometer, and think that you're gonna, something good's gonna come out of it. Let me ask you this. If you do buy cheaper beef, cause I'd buy ribeye steaks that might be, you know, $7 a steak if I had to buy four or five of them. Is there a secret to cooking lesser forms of beef? Because let me tell you, there's no doubt that you're eating better meat when you eat it. When you take the first bite, it tastes better. So if you're cooking lesser forms of beef, and some of the tastiest meals that you'll eat in on the planet are with cheaper forms of beef that poor people have learned how to cook well. So is there any secret to cooking lesser forms of beef?
Yes. Number one, if you're buying a lesser cut of any steak that you want, then you marinate it overnight at least 24 hours, and that will help tenderize it. And you take a fork and you punch holes in your steak before you marinate it, and that will let the marinade run into the steak on both sides all over. So you have these holes or you can use a paring knife and do the same thing. It works the same way. Now, for like a chuck roast that's maybe 2 inches thick, and it's got a bone in it and there's fat, well, that's what you put in the slow cooker and cook all day, 6 hours, 4 to 6 hours. And then do that by cooking at a length of time, that is what will tenderize and make the meat fall apart by length of cooking. Now, if you're a true barbecuer and you do a brisket, which is possibly one of the toughest cuts of meat in the world, if you don't cook it for 10 to 14 hours, depending on the size, at slow, that will, all the fat will transform into juice and will tenderize the meat while it's cooking it in your smoker. And that, tenderizes the meat tremendously. And the brisket is not an expensive cut of meat.
So slow cook, slow
and low. Yes, and if you want to do something on the grill, I'm going to use a gas grill, for example.
Right.
You have indirect heat. We've had discussions about indirect heat, and if you have a Weber, you brown it on the hot side, and then you put them off to the cool side and let it slow cook. And you control the temperature somewhere between 200 and 275. And then you, let that cook for a few hours. And that'll help tenderize a lesser cut of meat.
Hmm. Okay. All right. Well, that makes sense. That's smart. What about, there's another one. Mac, I know people use dry rubs. I'm not a big fan of those. Does the chef use any kind of out-of-the-bottle sauce, steak sauce, or anything like that? Does he have a favorite? A lot of people use A1 steak sauce, and so a lot of people use different kind of steak sauces. Do you use any of those? Do you have a favorite? Or if you did use one, what one would you use?
Well, they have different flavors, whether it's A1 or Worcestershire sauce. That's a personal preference.
I know. What's your personal preference?
As far as putting it on the steak and cooking it, no, I don't.
Okay. All right. So you don't do that. All right.
That's just me. That doesn't mean it's wrong.
They're curious about you today for some reason. They want to know what the chef.
And as far as dry rubs,
yeah,
depends on the cut of meat that I'm using, whether I want to dry rub it, and that's just to form a crust on the chicken or steak. I'll have a tendency to use dry rubs on chicken more than beef. I like the straight beef. If it's a real quality cut of meat, whether it's a filet or a prime rib or a ribeye, I will cook it straight, and then I'll add the butter compound or the béarnaise sauce. And if you just want straight Worcestershire, there's several sauces. Sriracha sauce people like on steak now. That's the beauty of grilling and cooking is what do you like? What do you like to eat? What does your family like, et cetera? And it's your call. You're the chef. So, in the immortal words of Leslie Gore, it's my party and I'll cook as I want to. that's a little paraphrase there.
No. Hey, no. Here's another one. Mac, I like the whole idea of the butter thing. My dad used to simply throw a slab of butter. That's how I first saw that done. I was like, what did he just do? My former father-in-law, God rest his soul, he did just take he always had good food. It tasted good. And he's a doctor. It wasn't probably too good for you, but let me tell you what, knock your ears off with how good it tastes. He'd throw a slab of butter on that, on a good steak, and it was delicious. So the email says, if there is simply one ingredient that you would tell me to start with my butter, would it be tarragon? So
it would be, for me, it would be garlic. It would be garlic, pepper, salt, garlic, pepper, and parsley. And then you veer off into tarragon or whatever herb you like. I happen to love tarragon, in my butter blend, but some people, like my wife, does not like tarragon like I do, so I'll put basil in her in her mix. And, I'll mix her up a little bit and then wrap it up and mark it after I throw it in the fridge, and then magic marker puts in there. And date, folks, when you do those butters and things, date them. Like, 5, 10, 18, I made this. I'm still working on a butter from last year. And we're almost 6 months into this year. Not much left, but in fact, that's when I do my first steak on the grill. That's what I'm going to use to finish it up. But Yeah, and you know, there's these fine steakhouses. Reminds me of one steakhouse called Peter Luger's in New York City. And they serve a porterhouse, and it's enough for four people, and it's 2-inch thick. And when they bring it out in a sizzling platter, they pour a ladle, about 2 ounces of butter right over the top of the whole steak. And that's where your father-in-law got that idea, not a Peter Luger's.
I don't think those restaurants list calorie count on those menus. Do you?
No. God, why would you? Look, if you're calorie counting, going into a steakhouse, then order a chopped salad and leave it alone, and don't think about anything. Or order your steak, no salt, no pepper, just plain. Just grill it, well done, and serve it to me. No, I'm just kidding, folks. you know, dining out is an adventure, and you, if you want a calorie count, that's up to you. You've got enough sense about if you're a calorie counter.
If you're a calorie counter, you should turn this off. Okay, this is not the discussion. This is not the discussion for you. My guest is the chef, Kim Holmes, and we've been talking about grilling from how to, you know, your grill's been sitting idle, probably collected a little bit of dust, a little bit of rust. Mm-hmm. And how to clean it up, and then on a daily basis how to take care of it. So we've been talking about that a little bit. And as we've been talking about steaks and grilling and different things, and Kim's been answering questions, here's one more question for you.
I love the questions, by the way, everyone.
Mac, I'm a bit of a wino, and I'm curious to know what the chef drinks with his steaks. So, not what can you drink, what do you drink?
What I drink is with my steak, and that's just, this is just my preference.
Why are you so uptight about giving your preference? You say that all the time. This is just my preference. You can do it. Look, nobody is going to mistake you for Hitler, man. Okay? You haven't yelled Sieg Heil once when we've ever done the show. Nobody's gonna mistake you for Hitler.
I drink Chianti Classico with my steak. I love Chianti. I worked in Florence, Italy for a year.
Oh.
I love the flavor of Italian wines. Chianti is from a region around Florence, Italy, where I work. And, it has on the neck of the bottle is a black rooster called Gallo Nero, black rooster. And that guarantees it's Chianti Classico from the region. And if it says Chianti Classico but doesn't have the black rooster, it's not from that region. But also, there are some great, Monticellina. There's great, grapes. And I have a preference for Italian wines. A second preference would be, a Cabernet, or a Pinot Noir from California.
Ooh.
California makes killer Cabernets and Pinot Noirs. They make great wines.
Okay, but we want to know what you drink. What do you drink? You drink Chianti?
Yes, I do.
Okay, all right. The let's see, Max. Since we're asking him interesting questions, does he have a favorite vegetable that he grills with his steak? and I assume he's a potato guy. His preference,
yeah.
Mashed or baked? Oh, so favorite vegetable, Adolph?
My favorite vegetable is asparagus.
Oh.
And I like to put my asparagus in a oil it and put salt and pepper on it and put it in a little foil tray and right on the grill and on high heat and get my spatula and spin those little fuckers and so they get crispy all over. But not overcooking them. I don't want a limp weenie. I pull the asparagus out. I like the bigger, fatter asparagus.
Asparagus.
I'm excited now.
Yeah, I can tell.
And for me, I love a twice baked potato.
Twice baked?
And the twice baked potato for me is my favorite because, You can heat them up, you can bake them, stuff them the day ahead, and then when it's grill time, bring those potatoes, let them come to temperature about an hour, and then you sit them right on the grill, and that skin crisps up and gets a little char on it. I always eat my potato skin, whether it's a baked potato out of the oven or not. But the twice baked, when you put them on the grill to finish them off and crisp the skin and heat the inside up, I think you're in the front row there. I'm in the front row.
Yeah, exactly. I don't know. It's a character flaw. He maybe needs to go to therapy. He doesn't like to talk about himself. He doesn't like to talk about himself. This is only me. You can do it your way. God almighty, we got the memo for the 800th time. Okay, we got the memo for the 800th time already.
Okay.
I will
answer any questions about myself. Believe me. I'm old enough to not give a shit. People ask me, and I'll be happy to tell them anything. So, there you go, folks.
There you have it.
in spite of what Mac is trying to paint the picture of me.
No, I'm just like, every time I ask you a personal opinion question, we have to go through this 30 seconds. And now, folks, this is just how I do it. You can do it however you want to. It's like, okay, man, we got the memo. Hello.
Okay.
Hello.
My bad.
That's all right.
My bad, bro.
That's all right.
I got the memo now.
The Mac, I'm a big fan of steak and a little bit of seafood. Does Kim have a favorite? I have in the past done shrimp. I've done a little bit of scampi. I've done some other white fish. I'm curious if when he does serve steak and fish, does he have a favorite fish meal? Kim?
Yes, I do. I like the biggest prawns I can find with the shell on. And even if they have the heads on, it doesn't matter. And if they're real big, I will put them in a little marinade, olive oil, salt, pepper, garlic, and whatever Beth throws in. I can't say because it changes all the time. But they have to be big prawns because I'm going to throw them right on the grill when the steak is resting. And then I put my shrimp on. And then that's my favorite. And then you take the reason I leave the shell on is because it keeps the moisture in the shrimp and it doesn't run into the grill. And you can tell them right away, you don't want to overcook them. As soon as they turn pink, you can pretty much pull them off, you know, one flip, and you can on each side, and that's it. And then my second favorite thing is to get a lobster tail, a frozen lobster tail, thaw it out, butter it up, not oil, but butter, and then you start it with the shell side on the grill down, and you cook a little bit from the bottom, and then you flip it over and score the lobster, and then when you flip it back up, you put it on the plate, and then take melted butter and pour it all over the lobster tail and serve it with your steak. And all that should be done while your steak is resting. A 4 to 6 ounce lobster tail does not take more than 5 minutes to cook.
Is it too,
same with the shrimp.
Is it, so when you're cooking lobster, that's a lot of heavy food, lobster and steak together. And especially if you put a little butter on the lobster, because I think you have to.
Speak for yourself, Matt. That's not heavy for me. I am big heavy, for God's sake.
So now we're talking all Fat Man Radio right now. I remember.
No. You asked me what I feel. Shrimp is my preference. Shrimp is my preference. Because then you can have, up to 6 shrimp, depending on their size. And it's an adventure to peel them and suck on the heads. And that's just how I roll. But, a single 4 to 6 ounce lobster tail, usually 4 ounces a standard, with a steak is not too much.
Okay. And how big is the steak?
Well, if it's a filet, it should be about 8 ounces. If it's a ribeye or a chunk of prime rib, it should be about 12 to 15 ounces. You can even go a 16 ounce ribeye, because, there's fat to cut off.
Okay.
If you so desire.
Okay. All right. Let me just tell you, just coincidentally enough, one of my favorite things to eat at Kim's place was something that they called the mixed seafood grill, and then I even modified that a little bit, and I'd kind of walk in and order something that wasn't even on the menu because he said I could.
Yeah.
And but I will tell you this: talk about using avocado with the your scampi. I thought that was even better. So a little bit of avocado on the plate with the scampi and some steak to die for. Avocado, yes.
That's a great call. Now, you want me to tell the recipe for that? How to do it?
Sure.
You take a quarter of an avocado, you slice it up, and you fan it out on a plate. And if you're a real avocado nut, you take half an avocado and you slice it and then fan it. And then you take your shrimp, you peel the shell off, and you leave the tail on. And then you take the back of the shrimp. You cut down, not all the way through it, you cut it down, and then you take salt, pepper, olive oil, and garlic puree, and you rub that little shrimp puppy all over with that mixture, and then you throw them in a cast iron skillet, and if you're grilling, you put a little cast iron skillet, and then you have control over your shrimp, and that's what I do. And then when the shrimp is done, unwrap the steak, put the steak on the plate, take the shrimp, and you put them on the avocado, and then you take, we served it with a butter sauce or a tartar sauce. and we made a romelard sauce. That's with mayonnaise and capers, pickles, garlic, and salt and pepper and lemon juice. And you mix all that up. And that's what we use for our tartar sauce. But it was really, it's actually with the capers in it. It's called a romelard sauce. But yeah, that's, and it talked about a beautiful presentation, to see two or three of those shrimp on the avocado, with a little dollop of, sauce, the romelard sauce on the side. Very cool. And so you have the best of both worlds with that.
Yeah. Let me just tell you
seafood grill, you loved it.
The avocado part of it was, you know, what I learned about dishes is that there is a wonderful combination of tastes that great dishes kind of bring together. My mom had such a dish, and a dish that she called steak in a bag, but it wasn't only that. It was, she combined that with a carrot casserole, and the two of them together were absolutely positively incredible. And so I would say the same thing about that seafood grill. It was garlic mashed potatoes with a small piece of a ribeye, and then scampi. I want to say three scampi with avocado, and it was absolutely the complement of those kind of things, of those tastes were absolutely phenomenal, absolutely phenomenal. It was to die for, and so there's great meals out there of different tastes that come together, and we're talking about a few of them today. I've got one more question, and then I'll let you go. We appreciate you kind of working a little bit overtime today.
Well, I love it. You know me,
right?
Especially when you're on the phone.
I
love it.
Here's another one. Matt, could you ask him? He was going through cuts of meat. I don't have the money to spend $20-something a pound for a steak. I think I would be in somewhere once a week, maybe Sunday meal, maybe somewhere between $10 and $15. What am I looking for in that price range in order to get a good steak?
Well, if you're talking about $10 or $15 per person, you can get pretty much a prime cut of ribeye, maybe a filet, depending where you live, your butcher. But those would be the two steaks. We always used to do top or bottom round for Sunday dinner and have sliced roast beef. I'm sure your folks did that too when you were growing up. And
no.
I didn't know what prime rib was until many, many years later. But I think for $10 to $15 a pound, you could find some really nice steaks that aren't bad at all. And they can be choice. They don't always have to be prime. You just want to make sure that there's not a lot of gristle. That's the silver skin that goes around the outside of like a ribeye. And some fillets will have a little silver skin. You make the butcher trim that up. I don't want any silver skin. Tell him. Just trim it up. I don't want any silver skin. A New York strip is another steak that, you want to make sure the silver skin is off. And a New York strip has tremendous flavor. It's a very good, and I think it's a lesser priced meat, but it's equally as flavorful and it's deluxe.
All right. All right, is there anything that I haven't asked you about grilling or steaks as we kind of, you know, we kind of people getting their grills out already and firing them up, so I wanted to talk about this today. Is there anything that I haven't asked you about grilling or about steaks that you want to make sure people know?
Well, I think we've covered it for the first session this season. But I would like to reemphasize, start out the year with a clean grill and well oiled, and clean it after each use, or, fire it up and clean it before. But you ease fixing meat and fish or shrimp on a grill is a clean grill. And that's the most important thing you should take away from this today.
All right. Here's another one that just popped in. Mac, I heard you talking about digital meat thermometers, Bluetooth variety. I've seen forks and different. I've wondered if they help. I probably should invest in one. How much will they set me back? Mine was $40. I'm looking at it advertised at Target right now for $29. My son will be pissed to hear that. And then you can get more expensive ones. This is called the Grill Eye Bluetooth grilling thermometer. It has four different probes in it. So you can have a probe in every steak, and they all hook back into the unit. It's a little bit larger than the one I own, and that unit connects to your phone. That's awesome. So you could have four different ones. But the one I have is $40 at Lowe's right now. And I don't know if it's just the one I'm looking at is. It's the same one. So from what I've seen, you can spend anywhere between, you know, at the low end probably $20, and at the high end maybe $80 or $100, depending on the get. But I would tell you it makes it much more difficult to screw the meat up. Okay. My cousin Tom, who was proficient in steak burning, got one, and he said his kids almost fainted. What? How come it's not charbroiled? He said I'm hopefully beyond that now. But he has some people in his family that like well done steak. And he said it makes it easy to give everybody what they want. So Big Tom is a fan as well. So again, that's a gift that's not going to break the bank.
It's really not.
All right.
That's good. And the thing is, if you, that's what I'd recommend. If you have a fork, that fork has to go right in the center of the fattest part of your steak. Otherwise, it's not going to register right. So a foolproof method is the probe and the digital gauge. And that's what I recommend.
Got it. All right, sir. You have a good weekend. Have fun with your family. And we'll talk to you in a little bit.
Thank you so much.
All right. There he is, the one and only. The chef who has trouble giving opinions. That's right. Hopefully we'll, with the appropriate amount of abuse and therapy, and he will grow out of that. So we'll take a break. Gunner's not joining us today. More of All Marine Radio coming up next on your home for it.
And critically ill service members face incredible challenges every day of their lives. Since 2004, the Semper Fi Fund has helped thousands of service members and their families with both immediate and long-term needs. Join the Semper Fi Fund in supporting American heroes. They've given so much. Now it's our turn. Learn how your tax-deductible donation makes a real difference in their lives at SemperFiFund.org.